All right, brethren, let's go back to Romans 7. Believers will tell you, because this is something we know, that for all the trials that we have, and we do have lots of different kind of trials in life, but the greatest trial we have is this warfare between our old man of sin and the new man that Christ has created within us. More than anything else, this is what we struggle with constantly. I hope today this will be a comfort to you, because this is a comforting message, showing us, brethren, what it is to walk and to serve in newness of spirit. Paul spoke about before the law, our old man of sin is dead. That's before the law. He's dead. And before the law, we're dead. So we're dead to the law. And we're married to Christ, that we should bring forth fruit by Christ, and that we should walk in newness of life and serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. And Paul showed us what the oldness of the letter was. He said, I was alive without the law once. I thought I was keeping it. I was going to the law and I was in my flesh and I thought I was keeping the law. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. I saw what I am. So now Paul is speaking to us as a regenerated believer. This is a regenerated man speaking in our text. And he's telling us, just as a sinner cannot justify ourselves by the works of the law, he's saying, neither can we sanctify ourselves by the works of the law. This is by the Spirit of Christ dwelling in us. And this work's not done through the hearing of the works of the law. Remember Paul said in Galatians 3, this is done through the hearing of the faithfulness of Christ Jesus. And that's what he's declaring to us now, the faithfulness of Christ Jesus, to mortify our flesh and keep us looking only to Him, crying out to Him. Now, I want to show you this. Our subject is sanctification by the Spirit. And we'll see here that the believer has an inward man and an old man. This old man is our sinful nature, our sinful flesh. This inward man is the new man, the new spirit, the new nature created by Christ within us. And these two are in a warfare. They're in a warfare. But two things the Spirit does in regeneration. He shows us, brethren, that if it was left to us, we could not deliver ourselves from our sinful flesh. We would not be able to. And so He causes us to cry out to God and confess our sin and confess our need for Him to come and deliver us. And then secondly, by leaving us in this body of death, He keeps us always looking to Christ only. Because we see, we can't go back to our flesh. We can't go back to the law because we see what's in us. We see that we can't overcome that old man. And so He keeps us looking only to Christ. Now, the first thing that the Spirit uses the law to do is to teach us that we're sinners and keep us and make us take sides with God against ourselves. That's the first thing that the Spirit does. He says in verse 14, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. See, Paul's speaking in the present tense, and he's saying, I am. This is what I am right now as a regenerated believer. I am sold under sin. And he says, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent, I confess unto the law that it is good. He says here, we know. And only we who are born of God know this. But we who are born of God, we do know this. We know, brethren, we started when the Lord regenerated us, we began to know that the law is spiritual. That's what Paul was saying when the commandment came, when God regenerated me and He made me hear the law, now I realize the law is spiritual. The law reaches to the inward thoughts and intents of my heart. It's not just outward. It reaches to the base, to the fountain, to the very nature. And the law is spiritual. So when that commandment came, sin revived, sin became alive, and all my self-righteous works and everything I thought I had accomplished died. And so now the law makes me see that I see the law is spiritual. It demands perfection. It demands perfect righteousness. It reaches to my heart and it tells me what I am. And so I see now that in my flesh, I am carnal, sold under sin. The law teaches me that because my flesh is sinful, I can never keep the law in perfection. Now this is what you learn when God regenerates you. You learn that you cannot keep the law in perfection. There's no way. There's no way. Now there's a new man within, a new spirit, a new nature, and that new man does not condone sin at all. He says, verse 15, that which I do, I allow not. Now that's a phrase that means a couple of things. One, it means I don't excuse my sin. I don't approve of my sin. And it also means that which I do, I know not. He's saying sin is in my thoughts before I know it. It comes up into my thoughts before I even know what's going on. So that what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. In our new man, we would do the righteousness of the law. In our new inward man, we would keep the law and do so without sin. That's what we would do. We're willing to do that. But our old man prevents us from doing what we would. Our old man of sin mixes sin with all we do, so that what I would do, that do I not. And what I hate, that do I. Now, it's important to understand here, especially for new believers, that though we do sin outwardly, now there's no doubt about that. You can go through the Old Testament, you can see where faithful men sinned outwardly, grievous sin. But by the power of Christ, brethren, our outward sinful behavior doesn't dominate our lives like it did before. Now that's just so in a believer. But now we see more than ever our sin, because now we see the sin in our heart, the sin in our thoughts. We see that law spiritually reaching to the inward man. And now we see sin we didn't see before. So we actually see more sin now than we did before. Because we thought before sin was just outward. So Paul, he wasn't an outward immoral man before God regenerated him. He wasn't outwardly immoral after God regenerated him. The sin he's talking about here, that which I do, the thoughts of our hearts is as much doing and breaking the law as is the outward act. Now, I'm not saying we don't sin outwardly. We do. But this is what we see now. We see the corruption of that fleshly heart in us. So the law makes us take sides with God against ourselves. He says in verse 16, if then I do that which I would not, I consent. The word is I confess unto the law that it's good. The law makes me, when I began to be regenerated and God began to show me the law teaches me I'm a sinner. But if you go back to the law, and we hear the law this morning. We heard the law. The law never stops telling us we're sinners. The law still tells us in our flesh we're sinners. That's all we are. We've never kept it. We've never obeyed it. We still see how perfect the law is as believers. And it still tells us that in our flesh we're sinners. So it's teaching us, brethren, we cannot justify ourselves. We cannot sanctify ourselves. by the works of the law. And we take sides with God in that and say, yes, that's true. I can sin. It's good. I can't do that. I can't do that. Now, here's the second thing. The Spirit of God reveals this good news to us. And this really dawned on me as I was preparing this message. That, you know, you and I wouldn't say this that Paul says if we were just speaking of ourselves without the Spirit of God. We wouldn't say, start talking about, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. This is the Spirit of God speaking to Paul, through Paul. And God's telling you and me how God sees it and how it really is before God. That's what He's telling us here. And so He tells us, brethren, that before God, my flesh is not the real me. Before God, in the sight of God, the inward man is the real me. That's who God looks on. Look here in verse 17. Now then, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, in that old sinful, wretched, fleshly nature, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but that's in the new man. I still don't have a willingness to please God in my sin nature. Just the opposite. But this willingness is in my new man. The will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Our flesh can never contribute to our salvation in any way, ever. Never. Never. Our flesh is of Adam. It hasn't been refined. It hasn't been purified. It has not been made better. It's only sin, and it only does sin. That's in us constantly. He calls it in verse 17, sin that dwelleth in me. It lives in my flesh. He says in verse 18, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. There's nothing good in our sin nature. Nothing at all. The only thing you and I can see is our sin nature. Isn't that right? When you look at you, all you can see is your sin. That's all I can see in me is sin. I don't see a new nature in me. And I think left to himself, Paul wouldn't have said this. But the Spirit of God is speaking through Paul, and God's telling us, this is the comforting message. God's telling us how He sees it and how it really is. And God declares through Paul that He looks on the inward man, that man that He created. And so He says to each believer, now then it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. In my inward man, to will is present with me. But it's due to my sinful flesh how to perform that which is good I find not. In my inner man, verse 19, the good that I would. There's good that I'm willing to do in my inward man, but due to my sinful flesh, I do not. I don't do that I would. In the inner man, there is the evil I would not. In my inward man, I hate evil and I would not do it. I'm not willing to do it. But due to my sinful flesh, that's what I do. But here's the good news. This is how God sees it. This is what God says to you, believer, and to me. God says, if I do that, I would not. It's no more I that do it. That's not the real me before God. That sin that's still in my flesh. Now, you remember what God said about our flesh back in Romans 6? He said when we were crucified with Christ, the body of our sin was destroyed. Now, that's before the law, and that means it's before God. That body of flesh that you and I see, that sin nature you and I see, and all the sin we commit, it all died, was destroyed when Christ was crucified. And so before the law, that body is dead. That body's dead before the law. And now God has created an inward man in the regenerated believer, and that inward man's a new creation. It's a new creation. It's made by God. It's to be born of incorruptible seed by the Word of God. To be born of Him. And in that new man, there is no sin. Incorruptible seed does not create corruptible man. It creates an incorruptible man. That's what we've been seeing in 1 John 3. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. That new man doesn't sin at all, period. But what we've been seeing in 1 John 3 is, because that's the fact, the believer never can apostatize. We can't walk away from Christ. We can't stop believing Christ, ever, because Christ's seed remains in us, and we cannot do that. We're born of God. This new man's created after Christ's image, after God. Go to Ephesians 4 and look at this. Ephesians 4 and look at verse 24. The old man's after Adam, corrupt, born of corrupt seed, so he's nothing but sin. But look at what the new man is. Ephesians 4:24. Put on the new man, which after God, you see that? It's after God. It's after God's image. It's created in righteousness and true holiness. Some like to say, well, that's Christ. Christ is not created, brethren. Christ was not created. This is talking about the new man that's created within us. Go over to Colossians 3 and look at verse 10. He says, you've put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created Him. That's Christ that created the new man. And so that new man is after the image of Christ that created him. You remember Romans 8 says that God predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son, that Christ might be the firstborn among many brethren. He's already done that work in our spirit. After we die, He's going to do that work in our flesh. But right now, He's done it in the Spirit. That's why Paul made the qualification and said, I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwells no good thing. Because he's not going to attribute that new creation that Christ has made. He's not going to say that's anything that's corrupt. Because it's not. It's not. Now, who is it the Lord looks on? What does the Lord look upon? We're told, remember whenever Samuel went to ordain David, and Samuel was looking at the outward appearance, and he was wanting to pick all these big, tall, strong boys, and David's this little scrawny fella out there in the field keeping sheep, and the Lord said, the Lord seeth not as man seeth. Man looks on the outward appearance. The Lord looketh on the heart. The Lord looks on the inward man. He says in 2 Chronicles 6:30, hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and render unto every man according unto all his ways, whose heart thou knowest. He's speaking to God. He says, God, you know the heart, for thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men. David cried to God in Psalm 51 and said, you desire truth in the inward parts. In the inward parts. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Whenever Peter talks here about us having a meek and quiet spirit, look where he says it's at. Speaks of a woman with a meek and quiet spirit. He says it's not outwardly. It's this, verse 4. Let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. See, God's looking on that inward man. It's the man He's created. That's the new man in which Christ dwells. And so we have communion with God. It's that new man in which we worship God in spirit and in truth. In the new man. And so God says, now if I do that, I would not. It's no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in my flesh. Before the law, that body of sin's dead. Now, I heard somebody recently say, I'm not worried, I don't have an old man anymore because he died before the law. That's not so. You and I, who, if you're born of God, you know you've got an old man of sin that dwells with you because he wars against you constantly. But before the law, that old man of sin has been destroyed so that we're not guilty anymore. We're justified before the law. There's no condemnation. And the Lord said that His Spirit was going to dwell in us so that now our sin doesn't have dominion over us anymore. And He said we're dead to the law now. So we're dead to sin and we're dead to the law. But we still have sin's presence with us. But Christ has dominion in our new man. He's raised us to newness of spirit. So we're walking in newness of spirit. We're serving in newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. This is all the work of Christ. So then it's no more I that do it. It's my sinful flesh. Go over to Romans 8 and verse 9. I want you to, when you go home, just read the end of chapter 7 and read over into verse 9 and see how he's still speaking on the same subject. Look here in verse 9. Here's what he's saying. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. You see that? Before God, we're not in the flesh, we're in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God is in you. If He dwells in you, then you're in the Spirit. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. That means three things. My body's dead so that all it can do is sin. In my flesh dwells no good thing. But it also means my body's dead before the law of God. Because my body of sin was destroyed when Christ was crucified. And it means my body of sin's dead to the law because the law's already been executed on me. So then, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. You see that? Life and righteousness are synonymous. If you have life, it can only be righteous. And if you're righteous, then you have life. They're synonymous. Sin didn't enter and death didn't enter till we became unrighteous. Righteousness is life. And the Spirit that's in us is life because Christ has worked out a righteousness for us. And it's through that righteousness that we receive the Spirit of adoption so that we have a new man created in the righteousness of Christ and the holiness of Christ. But look, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Does that mean that one day He's going to resurrect me? Yes. But in the context, He's saying, it's not going to be your flesh that's going to mortify your flesh and mortify that nature so that in your members you can work that which is righteous. It's going to be the Holy Spirit of God that's going to do it. He's going to put down that. He's going to mortify the deeds of your flesh and bring forth fruit of Christ to cause you to do what God would have you to do. That's how it's going to be done. Look at it says there, therefore, brethren, we're debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. If you go back to the law and you try to do it yourself, you're going to die. You become a legalist. You've fallen from grace. You're debtor to do the whole law. Christ becomes of no effect to you. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's talking about. And he goes on to say there, it's not a spirit of bondage. He hadn't caused us to run back to the law and be fearful. It's a spirit of adoption. It causes us to cry out to God and cry out to Abba Father. And that's why he's left us with this old man of sin. He's left us with this old man of sin to war against our new man, to keep us looking and crying only to Christ, to show us we can't mortify this old man. Now look here in verse 21, Romans 7:21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. It actually this sin nature dominates me and brings me into captivity, makes me sin. And he says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now, this is a standing law, brethren. This is a standing rule that will always be as long as we live until we die. When I would do good, evil will always be present with me. When you would do good, believer, sin's going to always be present with you. That's just the case. Now, we delight in the law of God after the inward man, but our sinful flesh is sinful, and that's all it does is sin. So evil's going to be present with us constantly. And it even overcomes us. This sinful flesh, this nature, overcomes us and brings us into captivity. That's why you say things you wish you could take back. That's why you do things you wish you could take back. You think things you wish you could take back. And you can't control it. If you think you get to thinking you can control it, when you lay down tonight, instead of having some wicked, evil dream, make yourself have a nice, pleasant dream. You can't. That's sin in you. And we can't control our thoughts. Just our thoughts. Anyway, it overcomes you. But I thought in Romans 6, he said sin wouldn't have the dominion over our persons anymore. Well, it's not going to have dominion over you fully. But he does allow it to have dominion over you temporarily. Occasionally, he will allow it to have dominion over you to show you, brethren, that you can't defeat it. This is two things he's going to show us by that. One, he's going to show us that left to ourselves, we cannot depend on our inward man to free us from the dominion of sin. Folks are afraid to preach on the inward man because they think it steals glory from God and it exalts the sinner. Nothing I'm talking about is of the sinner. Everything I'm talking about is of God, including what God works in us. And he's showing us here, if it was left to that inward man, you still could not overcome sin. There's no way you could do it. He said there in verse 22, I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. So, just because I delight in the law of God and the inward man, I can't overcome my sin nature. So I can't live after the flesh. I cannot of myself try to go back to the law and try to mortify the deeds of my flesh by my works. I can't start preaching works to you and expect that you're going to walk after those works and mortify the deeds of your flesh. I can't make that happen. I have to preach Christ to you because it's through this message that God's going to come and mortify the deeds of the flesh in spirit. And that's the second thing. He makes us continually cry out to God, confessing our sin and our need for Christ to deliver us. He says there, O wretched man that I am. That's where he brings you, isn't it? You that know him, you know what I'm talking about. You've experienced this. He brings you here. On a daily basis, he brings you to the point where you just, oh, I hate what I am. I hate the sin that I am. Lord, I can't deliver myself from this sin. Who's going to deliver me from it? And the scripture says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to do what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's what he's talking about here. Not only does he come forth and purge your conscience and make you know that there's no condemnation towards you, but he also cleanses you and mortifies that deed, the deeds of the flesh, so that for a little while you can worship God and have communion with God, and that flesh is not reigning over you. But it won't be long. It'll rain over you again. You'll be crying out to God. But see, Just imagine if you could overcome sin by your flesh. I mean, by your inward man. If you could put down and mortify the deeds of your flesh yourself, you know what we'd do? We'd be so proud and puffed up and so arrogant, and we wouldn't call on Christ for anything. We certainly wouldn't confess any sin. That's what would happen if he could take you out of that body of sin in a heartbeat. And he doesn't do that because you would stop calling on him. You would stop confessing your sin. This makes us, as we go through this life, see we're ever dependent on Christ. We can never cease looking to Christ. That's opposite of what this world's preaching. That's opposite of what these reformed fellows are saying when they're saying you can sanctify your flesh and you can get more holy and more holy and more holy. You're either holy or not holy. When God gives you a new heart, there's a new heart created in true holiness. And now it's the Spirit that's mortifying the deeds of the flesh through the hearing of the faithfulness of Christ. He's doing it. He's doing it. Go over to Galatians 5. I want to show you something. Here in our text, Paul is saying that we cannot overcome the deeds of our flesh, our sin nature, ourselves. It takes dominion over us. But in Galatians 5, did I say Galatians 6? Galatians 5, where I mean. What Paul's doing here is, the context is he's telling these believers, you don't have to go back to the law. You've been set free from the law. Don't go back to that bondage. He's saying to them, it's the Spirit that's going to mortify the deeds of the flesh so that that Spirit doesn't overcome you permanently. Watch this, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now that's the point of what he's going to say next. Here he's saying the Spirit is going to dominate the flesh. Romans 7, he's saying if we were left to ourselves, our flesh dominates that new inward man. But here's why he doesn't dominate it permanently. Look, for the flesh lusteth against the God the Holy Spirit, but God the Holy Spirit lusts against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that your sinful flesh would do. The Spirit of God prevents it. And if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. That's what he's going to show us in Romans 7. You're not condemned. You're not even under the law. That old man's been crucified already. So now the Spirit is the one that's going to keep you mortified. Not your inward man. It's the Spirit. So God gives us this resolve back in our text, Romans 7:25. We come to this realization. We thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's going to be the one. He has, is, and shall deliver us. And the only one. So then, this is how it's always going to be. With the mind, with the new man, I myself serve the law of God. Newness of spirit. But with the flesh, the law of sin. That's going to always be the case for the rest of my life. But here's the good news. Our sinful flesh has been crucified. It has been crucified before God, before God's law, so that there's no condemnation. We're free from sin. We're justified before the law. So he says in verse 1, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ. He's the one that has delivered me. And he says, there is therefore then, now, no condemnation. He's delivered me from that. And he goes on to show how that the law was weak. Through our flesh, we could not justify ourselves to our flesh, so God sent His Son and condemned sin in our flesh, made our body of sin to be destroyed, so that we might be made righteous by the works of Christ. And that's what He's done. And then secondly, He says this, by the Spirit dwelling in our inward man, we're going to never be overcome permanently by that flesh. Look, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That law of sin and death is no more going to have dominion over me. It's not going to have dominion over me. I'm going to forever delight in the law of God in the inward man. I'm not in the flesh. I'm in the Spirit. He's going to always make me cry out, Abba, Father. And He's going to always come and deliver me. The Spirit of life in Christ delivered me from that law of sin and death. From that very nature that's in me. So it'll never have permanent dominion over me. Do you see how comforting that is, brethren? If you know anything at all about this warfare, you know you can't overcome that sinful man. You know it. And sometimes this is what caused somebody to despair and think, am I a child of God or not? I can't stop this. Well, here's where God brings His child. He brings you to have this resolve. It's going to always be this way. But I'm not to go back to my flesh. I'm not to start looking at things I've done or things I need to do or things I should do to mortify the deeds of the flesh. He said, if you do that, you're going to die. That's what Paul meant in Galatians when he said, if you're circumcised or if there's one law you have to keep, you're a debtor to keep the whole law. Christ is he's of no effect to you anymore. You've fallen completely. You've gone away from grace and now you're going back into legalism and bondage. But He's telling us here, the Holy Spirit of God dwells in His people. And He'll not let you fall away. He's not going to let that sin have dominion over you so that you go back to the law or you go back to your immorality or whatever. He's going to keep mortifying that old man so that we're kept by the Spirit of God. Isn't that good news? Isn't that comforting? I found that very comforting. This is what it is, brethren, to walk in newness of spirit. I said last week, walking in newness of spirit is not something that you and I do. It's not really something you and I do. And Paul shows us here in Romans 7 and 8, no, it's not really something you do. It's something the Spirit does in you, making you never be able to cease believing on Christ. And the second part of that is loving your brethren. Again, I'll say to you, if you haven't been listening on Thursday nights, please listen to those messages because that's what John's talking about all through 1 John 3. That's the sin a believer cannot commit. He cannot commit apostasy. That's the one thing. A child of God can do anything else a child of the devil can do. But the one thing a child of God cannot do by the incorruptible seed dwelling in us, one thing we cannot do that manifests the difference between us and a child of the devil is this. We cannot cease believing on Christ and loving our brethren. We can't. Because He won't let us. And that's what He's saying here in Romans 7. I pray that's a blessing to you. All right, Brother Art.